All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today, people have been talking about this. We've been talking, pumping it up for the last week or so. It's a Talk is Jericho exclusive. Broken Matt Hardy is here doing his first in-depth sit-down interview to talk about the Final Deletion, his brother Jeff, and what all of this means for his future at TNA Impact Wrestling. I mean, this guy's a whack job. I've known Matt for years Wow, let me say he's definitely changed, and this is not a character for him. Something has really, really snapped, and you're going to hear this. It's been quite a transformation. We're going to talk about the events that led to the emergence of Broken Matt, as he calls it, how his family, especially his wife and young toddler son, are dealing with it, what it was like to have this showdown with his brother at his home. He discusses kind of the lineage of Broken Matt, basically claims, in other words, to be possessed, talks about how that all came to be, his whack job accent. Apparently, he claims to have known my great-great-great-grandfather, who was a lumberjack. Yeah, if you think the Broken Matt character is a character, think again. It's pretty creepy stuff, and it's his first-time podcast debut, Broken Matt, here today on Talk is Jericho. And before we get to this very unique interview, let me first say a big thank you to you, the people, the fans, the people, for supporting all the great Talk is Jericho sponsors, including the biggest sponsor for us, long-term, long-running sponsor, DDP and DDP Yoga. Now, you know how much I dig DDP Yoga, and especially the new DDP Yoga Now app. I don't have to use the DVDs anymore. Leave them at home. Do everything through my device. It's been my mission now to get everyone, all of you, doing DDP Yoga because of how great the program is and how much it's helped me. You know, it saved my pro wrestling career and my music career. Anything that I had to do where there's some exertion, some core energy going on, I was done. I was devastated with my herniated disc. DDP helped me save my life professionally, but DDP Yoga also saved Jake the Snake Roberts' life all across the board, literally saved him from going into the ground. And you can see for yourself the amazing transformation in the resurrection of Jake the Snake, the documentary that Dallas and his crew put together. And believe me, this is not just a wrestling documentary. It's an amazing personal story about how Jake Roberts beat his demons, battled back from the brink of certain death to reclaim his life, his family, his glory, basically. It's a very amazing story, and so many people are checking it out and digging it, and that's why it's now, get this, the sixth highest rated documentary of all time on Netflix. You need to see it, and be sure to rate it after you watch it, and you're going to rate it very, very high, because this is a documentary that's going to take you on a roller coaster ride of emotions. It's going to leave you feeling inspired and ready to take on the world at the end, just like Jake is now. So once you're fired up to change your own life, take advantage of this amazing offer that Dallas is giving to you, the sexy beast, Talk is Jericho listeners. Get this, 20% off anything you purchase at the ddpyoga.com/Jericho. All right, for a limited time, it's 5, 10, 15, 20% off DDP Yoga, 20% off the collector's edition of the Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, 20% off all the merch, 20% off anything at ddpyoga.com/Jericho is the code. Take advantage of it. Change your life. Get in the best shape of your life, mentally and physically. I'm telling you, I know from experience, this will make you a better person, and you can start getting into it now. Start today, ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Okay, I'm at this undisclosed location. It's a little bit weird, but hello? Hello?
Brother Keith, I knew you'd come.
Yeah, wow. This is a little bit creepy, I gotta tell you, because...
Why?
Well, because Broken Matt Hardy, I mean, this is... It's weird for me, Matt, because, I mean, I've known you for so many years, but I've never met this guy, this Broken Matt character. Is it a character? Is it even a character? What is this?
I don't know why people continue to use this character terminology. It's very strange. It's very foreign to me. This is who I am. When my incident occurred, when my broken condition occurred, it changed many things in me. It unlocked potent parts of my mind that I had never been able to access before. And now I am more. I am magic.
This is one of the hottest things going today in TNA and in wrestling in general. Everyone's talking about Broken Matt, and you mentioned the incident. what happened to you? You weren't like this 6 months ago. You weren't like this when I saw you 3 or 4 months ago on WrestleMania at the street, on the street corner. We crossed paths. What happened? What's the incident?
The incident was where my self-serving, egomaniacal brother Nero tried to end me. I mean, you know, my brother Nero has experienced so much success, an enormous amount of success throughout his years in this industry. And, you know, whenever he was the champion of the world, whenever he held the title of the world, I always supported him. I always had his back. I wanted to see him succeed. But when I won the title of the world, that is not what Brother Nero did. He betrayed me. He was envious of me. He was jealous of me. I was the first man who defeated the third version of Carter, EC3. And when I defeated him, it set the world on fire. I became the champion of the world. And Brother Nero couldn't stand that. He couldn't support me like I supported him. And when he decided to turn on me and betray me, it led to a match, an I Quit match. And he went up to the roof of the Impact Zone. And he dove onto me and put me through a table into the floor without one single iota of remorse for my beautiful wife or my son that I love. He was willing to end me on that day. And when I was first broken, when my broken condition first set in, I thought it was a curse. But it turns out it was a blessing, because now I am more. I have more access to my mind than I ever have before. And I realize that this physical vessel that I now live in is just a mortal vessel. But my soul, my broken brilliance has been around for hundreds upon hundreds of years.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You obviously, your brother Jeff, you keep calling him Brother Nero, which a lot of people don't realize is his...
This name that you speak of, this J-E-F-F-H-A-R-D-Y, that name does not exist anymore. That is my intellectual property. And if you actually say that, I can charge you.
Okay.
I own that.
Please, okay, don't charge me.
He is Brother Nero. That is the only way to refer to him.
Okay, well, that's actually, so people who don't know, is his middle name. You called me Brother Keith, which is my middle name. Is this, what is, why would you do this?
That is the way I refer to people very often, because I have a unique way. I am a kindred spirit, as you know. My soul was actually created on 777. July 7th, 7 AD is when my soul was actually created and installed. And I have lived through thousands of years. But now I am housed in this vessel that is known as Matt Hardy. And now my broken brilliance has been unleashed. And the reason why I do that is it goes back to a very respectful custom that happened around the turn of AD. People used to refer to people by their middle names, and they would call them brother or brethren. So I often call people by their middle names. But Brother Nero is such a traitor, almost like as the Cain and Abel reference. He is a traitor. That terminology has become traitorous. And that's how I refer to people that are traitors, are unloyal. It's actually become such a strong piece of terminology. It is in the Urban Dictionary.
It's ironic to me, though, that you made such a huge career with Brother Nero as the Hardy Boys, an iconic team for 10, 15, yes, maybe even longer. See. And now you have this condition because of Jeff. Sounds like maybe some jealousy of Jeff, some bad feelings, ill will. And now it sounds like, I mean, you're saying you're possessed by a soul from 2,000 years ago?
I am not possessed. This is the soul. My soul is the same soul it's always been. It just now lives in this vessel. Even you, you are an iconic performer, Brother Keith, Chris Jericho, Y2J, and your body is mortal. One day your body will cease. It will go away. It will be deleted permanently. It will live in the darkness of deletion somewhere in the ground, but your soul will carry on. Most people don't know where their soul was before it was in their vessel. I do.
Is this where this accent has come from? It's a very strange dialect that you speak here.
This is what the future of the English language looks like. This is what it sounds like. Whenever I woke up from the incident, I was in the hospital. And when I first realized I had this broken condition, they took me to a mirror and I looked at my hair. And there was a streak in it. And it was a shock streak because of the traumatic torture and incident that Brother Nero put me through. And this is just how I spoke. And I realized it is part. It is the next generation. It is the next evolution of the great vow shift that happened many, many hundreds of years ago. This is the way everyone will be talking in the future. I have started something that should not even be brought to this time now. This sort of language won't be evolved until around the year 3000.
Okay, so the year 3000, everyone will be talking with this accent that you have.
See,
gasoline. Yes. What do you keep saying C for?
I am expanding. The seven deities are going to install every language in my body within me.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I know your family. I know your dad. Great guy. What is he thinking? What does your wife think? I mean, you've been married for years now, and you just wake up after the incident. You're talking like this. You've got this streak in your hair. You've gone really very strange, Matt.
But I didn't ask for any of this. This condition was inflicted upon me. It's not that I went strange. This was the result of an incident. And although it seemed like a curse, it is truly a blessing because now I am more. My wife, it was hard for her to accept this at first. My son, he's young and he has a mind that is pure. His vessel is pure. His soul is still pure and young. So he was absolutely accepting of it. My wife, it took her a little bit, but she knows. She knows I am a good man and she knows I am there for her and my family. And she has accepted me, every ounce of me.
I mean, Jeff, obviously, you talk about the final deletion, and we'll talk about that. You own the intellectual...
Brother Nero.
I apologize. Brother Nero, you now own the intellectual property to the other name. I mean, you guys have had issues in the past, feuds in the past, in the WWE. But this is bigger than anything before. You actually want to destroy your brother, Matt.
I have deleted him. And people, they don't understand what that means. Delete.
Explain that. What does that mean?
Delete does not mean that you are dead or deceased. Or in the delete means that I take everything that made you, you. Everything on the inside of your vessel, I have taken all of this. His soul, his spirit, his aura, his essence. And everyone for the longest time said, oh, this charismatic enigma, Brother Nero, he is so special. I love him. I idolize him. Everything that made him who he was, I have taken. Every bit of it. He is now nothing more than an empty vessel of flesh. And he still has some bit of athletic prowess left in his body, but I will take that and I'm going to work him. I'm going to work him to there is not a penny left in his body. I'm going to break his back and I'm going to drain him dry for everything he is worth. And it is a punishment fitting of how he has treated someone like me.
But here's another thing, too. If you talk about the years of the Hardy Boys, I mean, Jeff always had that presence. I always said, like a Jim Morrison, people were just drawn to him. And maybe you didn't have that same quality, Matt. Is this something that stems where now you have the one of the biggest characters in the business? Is that one of the reasons why this has happened? You said he didn't ask for it. But I mean, look at all the buzz that you have about you now because of this.
There is a truth to that. He always was an individual that was always gifted. He had what people refer to in this industry as the it factor. But now I have taken that. And I am actually working on a way to channel that and use that myself. Maybe I was not gifted with the same sort of inner charisma and essence that he had. But now I have deleted what he once was. And he will see that he is not that anymore. He will be a different individual within his vessel from now on.
So you've deleted him from everything that's his, from
that
all of
made
his
him who
intellectual
he was.
Property. So what's he going to do now? What is your plan for your brother? You guys grew up together. You've been in this business since you were before you were teenagers together.
He is my mule.
He's your mule?
He is my obsolete mule. Yes, that is what I refer to him. He is an obsolete mule. He is a creature I use to work for me to make me money, to make me profit. And that is deserving. That is what he deserves after everything he has done to me. All of these years, I was the broken brilliance behind the Hardys. It was not him. He was nothing more than a spot monkey, some honorable evolved gorilla that just jumped around and people loved him because of his presence and his athletic ability. I was the one that held everything together. I kept all the fundamentals together. I was the one that always drew the game plans. I made sure he made the town. I made sure he made the match. Now, I am just going to work him and drain him dry for every dollar that is in his body. And he deserves that.
And Jeff is going to do this. He's going to go through with it.
No, he has to until the end of his contract, because now he's my intellectual property. It went through my mind. It crossed my mind to fire him and let him go, which I could have done. But I knew what he would have done. He would have adopted a pseudonym and came to work for the man you work for Meek Mahan show. Oh, he would have went to the Honorable Wrestling, or he would have went to the New Wrestling in Japan, or Subterranean Lucha. He would have went to one of these companies, and he would have adopted another name, maybe a Jeff Harvey, or just been the Enigma, or whatever it may have been. But no, I own the value, and there is equity in the name JeffHardy in Brother Nero's name, and I will milk it for everything it is worth. So he, if he is going to exist in this business until the end of his contract, he will do what I say.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The final deletion was the piece of work that was done, this piece of film that came out that basically everyone was talking about. There was a kind of an introductory piece before that to kind of introduce it. Tell us a little bit about this, some of the people involved and how this all took place.
Well, the final deletion was basically my masterpiece. I drew my masterpiece on the canvas of the Impact Wrestling. This whole process started when I brought out my documentarian. His name is Jemma Borash. And these events are so special, they must be documented. Almost, if you look back over history, there are many, many great individuals. It would have been nice if everything could have been documented on video and whatnot for them, but they couldn't. Fortunately, during this time, the broken brilliance of Matt Hardy can be documented. If we could have got a documentarian to cover George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Jesus or any of these great individuals, it would have been amazing to have. Fortunately, we live in a day and a time where that can happen here. I had my documentarian come to my house, and he was there, and we did this contract signing where basically I lured Brother Nero into a situation where I could weaken him. And even all the matches we had, he could have never defeated me on his own. I allowed him to, almost like, and you see these fictional movies of the Rocky films. In the Rocky films, he would let someone punch and punch and punch and punch until they punched themselves out. And that is what I allowed him to do. At the Slammiversary, I allowed him to continue to do all these spot monkey maneuvers until he injured himself. And then at the next match, Six Sides of Steel, I allowed him to jump off the cage and do this and crush me until he injured himself more. And then finally, I set him up until the moment was right. I put everything on the line, all of the intellectual property, everything that is Hardy, because I am the true face of Hardy. And at the final deletion, not only did I take everything that I deserved, I took his essence and I deleted his ass.
But let's talk about the first one. You used your own baby, Max Maxwell. You used him as a pawn in this to have your wife throw the supposed baby at Jeff to catch him. That's a low trick, man. That's your baby.
That was not my baby. That was a doll. It was Broken Brilliance that did that. And my son, he knows. He is a very wise. His soul, as I said before, has been around for a while. He is a very wise soul. I have spoken to his soul.
Oh, his soul has been around for years as well?
Yes.
Centuries?
No, not centuries.
Oh, okay.
It has been around for decades, so his soul has. My soul has communicated with his soul, and I do know he is on. He is totally in agreement with everything I do. He is on the team. He is the sole heir to the Hardy throne, to House Hardy throne, and he agrees with everything I do. He is with the movement.
Okay, well, that created a huge buzz. The first, like you said, when you pulled the ruse, the Maxell rules, we'll say, which was about a 5 or 6 minute piece. Then suddenly it leads up to the final deletion. 20 minutes long. People haven't stopped talking about it since it aired a few weeks ago. there's so much stuff that happened in that, Matt. I mean, maniacal, the way that it was set up. I mean, I know you had your documentarian, but I mean, first and foremost, explain to us, everyone wants to know more about Senor Benjamin.
Oh, Senor Benjamin is a good, good man. Senor Benjamin is a very loyal soldier in my Great War. He is my gardener, but he has grown into more. He has morphed into more.
Oh, so he started as your gardener, but now he's the general in your Great War battle.
See,
it's quite a promotion for Senior Benjamin.
He is a strong lieutenant. He is a very, very good man. He has always been a loyal gardener of mine, but once we get to the point and he realized that I had a bit of a condition, and very kind of him, if you go back and watch the final deletion, you see him ask my wife, he says, is Matt sick?
Mm.
And it was very kind because he cared about me, but I think he does not realize that my condition has unlocked parts of my mind that has made me more than just a mortal man. I am paranormal in many ways. I see you right now. And in your head, you're questioning that. You don't believe it because I can hear your thoughts. There are things that you think that I can hear. There are things that people think that I can actually hear now. My abilities are growing. And as time goes on, my abilities will continue to grow. And you will understand. My mind is unlocking slowly, little by little, until I become something I don't even know how I'm going to be able to define myself.
Well, you're right, though. You did just read my mind there, because a lot of the stuff you're saying is very hard to believe. But like I said, I mean, you believe it, and it's very convincing, especially sitting next to you here. I'm a little bit creeped out in this undisclosed location. But let me ask you one thing. We saw Senior Benjamin in the first clip, just briefly. Was that, did you have your documentarian include that so we would know that there was planting the seed of Senior Benjamin?
It was accidental in the beginning. Benjamin was just out doing his random daily chores. He was out there working
What are his chores that he has to do?
He keeps up the garden. I have a exquisite green bean garden that he always keeps up so well. A tomato garden. I have many different vegetables that I have. He also takes care of my personal zoo. He takes care of my grass and my landscaping needs. There are times too. He also cooks. He is a wonderful chef. He is an extraordinary
Spanish
chef.
Food, Mexican food.
Yes, a little bit of everything.
What's your personal zoo? I didn't know you.
Yes, I have a personal zoo that he is almost like the caretaker for it. I have a couple of tigers, a couple of lions, and a giraffe, and a few things we are adding to it. It's basically, I just started it out of boredom for my son, King Maxwell.
Giraffes in North Carolina, that's never been seen before.
Well, besides the zoo, I actually had to purchase it from the zoo.
Oh, okay. Once again, I'm just trying to go through the final deletion here. Jeff's house, and he's got this. We all know Jeff. He's such an artist. Everything he has in his house, the lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a
delightful. It's almost orgasmic to even think about that moment in time. I know everyone has that neighbor that they think is better than them. That neighbor that has this immaculate yard, and they go over the top to build all these beautiful designs and bushes and hedges and shrubbery. And I know everyone wishes they could be on my lawnmower in my shoes and mow that yard down. I destroyed every single bit of it. It was beautiful. Not only was he deleted that day, but his beautiful yard, beloved yard, was broken.
It's terrible. I mean, the stuff he had mowed in there, beautiful designs, tattoo-like designs.
Nah, but it's arrogance. It's the hubris of the brother Nero.
I mean, that must have pissed him off big time. I would have been furious.
He thinks he's better than everyone else. He thinks he's better than these normal people. He thinks he can have some sort of special yard, and it should be relished, and it should be worshipped, and it should be revered. I'll put an end to that quickly.
Let's talk about Vanguard, the drones that you had attack Jeff. I mean, that was something that I've never seen before.
Yes.
And I almost thought it was CGI. I mean, it looked so real.
Oh, Vanguard 1 is such a... Vanguard 1 loves me more than Brother Nero ever loved me. Vanguard 1 is truly man's best friend. People talk about dogs being loyal, cats being loyal. Vanguard 1 is the ultimate in loyalty. I don't even know if you saw the public deletion, the aftermath of the final deletion, when I was burying the material remains.
I saw his shirt.
Yeah, he brought his shirt out.
Yeah.
How kind of him. It was an artifact that I had overlooked, and he brought it out. How loyal. He truly is man's best friend.
But it's a drone.
Oh, but he is more than a drone. He is more than an inanimate object. You have to understand that. The seven deities have given him more than just an ability just to be a drone. He actually has a soul. The seven deities have blessed him with a kindness. They have blessed him with a soul.
Okay, so he's like C-3PO or something? He's actually talking to you now? And
yes.
Okay. He had a whole fleet of drones that were attacking Jeff.
Yes, he is. Vanguard 1 is the leader of the aerial assault robots.
Okay, so the rest I would assume is Vanguard 2, 3, 4, 5.
They're just all soldiers.
Were you angry when Jeff was smashing them with his guitar?
Well, you know, in a great war, you will lose soldiers.
Of course.
So we knew that was going to happen. As long as Vanguard 1 was fine, I was okay.
Okay, and then here's another thing, too. It just out of nowhere now. You're running. Jeff is shooting fireworks at you after you shot the fireworks at him, which he blocked with the garbage can lid. It was a smart move on his part.
Yes.
He outsmarted you on that one.
He was very lucky, very fortunate.
How does that make you feel when he outsmarts you some of these times with your evil plans?
Disgusting. It was luck. It had to be luck. He has been a lucky, lucky man. A very fortunate man for many years in his career. And on this instant, it was no different.
You're running away from him, though, as he's shooting these Roman candles at you, which is very dangerous. You could have lost an eye or had your fingers blown off. We see that sort of thing happen all the time. And here you are running, and you see this dilapidated boat.
Oh, yes. Skarsgård. He has a name.
Of course, Skarsgård. But this was one of the most... People just went nuts for this. Yes. A dilapidated boat.
Oh.
T-shirts now made?
Oh. It just... It illuminates my inside. It makes me glow. It makes me smile from ear to ear when I think about the kindness bestowed upon me by the seven deities of Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat. I happen to be running through this field, through this meadow, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a dilapidated boat, and it protected me from the demonic fire of Brother Nero's fireworks.
So does Skarsgård have a soul as well, like Vanguard 1 does, by chance?
We are going to refurbish and give him one. Seven deities have promised me. They have made an oath to make Skarsgård more.
Well, first of all, two questions. What was Skarsgård? Where did that come from?
It's just what they told. It's what they told me to name him.
And the seven deities are...
I cannot reveal all of them at this time, but in time you will learn about the seven deities.
Okay.
As mankind goes forward, they will play a much greater role in the faith in the fate of humans and all of mankind.
And you are enlightened to this before anybody else.
Yes. Yes, my mind was opened up enough to be able to communicate with them.
I mean, this goes far beyond wrestling, though, Matt. I mean, with all this type of knowledge and the seven deities empowering you, it seems like you could be doing, you know, running politics or something like this.
I should. I should be running for the president, considering both of our candidates currently both deserve to be in the darkness of deletion. The Donald Trump and the Hillary Clinton. Hillary, the only thing I have in common with her is her ability to delete things. Because she likes to also delete.
Wow. I mean, the perfect. Deleting the emails. That's exactly what she did. You called her out.
Yes.
Wow. Who would have thought that's the perfect, a perfect example of total deletion?
Yes. She did commit a total and final deletion.
Wow. This is just so much stuff here.
Our country is broken. I think I can save it.
You actually think that you could run for president?
I am considering it. First, I must do the one thing I need to do at the TNA, at the Impact Wrestling, to try and make me feel whole again. Because even though I do have this broken condition, which has ended up becoming a blessing, a part of me misses being the champion of the world, holding the title of the world that Brother Nero cost me. So there is a tournament that is currently going on the TNA, on the Impact Wrestling. And it is the Bound for Glory playoffs where the champion gets, where the winner gets a match against the champion. And that is what I must do. That is possibly the only way that I could be whole again, because that is when my broken condition began. And then after I do that, my future is limitless. No boundaries, no parameters. I will do everything that I can to make the world a better place. Those who stand beside me and fight in the great war, the war between good and bad, light and dark, they will all rise and they will all be rewarded. Those who stand against me, those who oppose me, will suffer a punishment worse than death, and that is the darkness of deletion.
What side are you on, light or dark?
I am the light. I know I am. They have told me I am. I feel the light illuminate within me. I am more.
Wow. And who is all in the tournament for the Bound for Glory tournament?
I have already defeated Brother Nero Storm.
Nero Storm?
Yes.
Why is he Brother Nero as well?
Because he's traitorous as well.
Okay, so anybody that's a traitor is a Brother Nero.
Yes, anyone who is a hater or a non-believer or a traitor are a Brother Nero. Wow. He is a Brother Nero Storm.
Okay.
This week, I am so excited to eat. I am going to dine on. I can't wait to taste his red plasma, sink my teeth into Brother Nero Carter, the third version of Carter, EC3.
It's interesting, like you said, a Brother Nero. I mean, and you mentioned earlier Urban Dictionary. Was that one of the terms? I mean, a Brother Nero could be now.
It is.
It has made it to the Urban Dictionary.
It is. It has been in there for months.
Okay, so if you're a traitor, you're a Brother Nero.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the possibility of the final for the tournament? Who are you going to have to beat to become the champion again?
It would probably either be Brother Nero Galloway or that Michael Bennett.
So what do these guys think in the locker room when you come in there talking like this with the hair and the jacket and the voice? Are they laughing at you? Or are they? What are they thinking?
I think when they first saw my condition, they second-guessed it. But now they are all afraid. They are either afraid or they are on the bandwagon. Either they kiss my broken, brilliant ass, or they are afraid. One or the other. Because they realize, as I have said many more times, I am more. I am magic.
See, before when you said that, I thought you were going to finish, but you were saying, I am more. And that's it. You're just more.
Yes.
I'm
not immortal. I am more. My brain has been unlocked where I am stronger than just a regular human being. I am not equal to other men or other women, you see, other mortals, other humans. I am more. Everyone uses such a small percentage of their brain. I have unlocked so much that I am more. And when I say that, I mean that literally.
You are more. Speaking of more, the ratings for Impact after the final deletion went up. I don't even know what the percentage was, but it was a huge, maybe 100, 200, 300, four times as many viewers as the week before.
Yes. Many more viewers. And the thing that was even more remarkable, which everyone that was associated with the Impact Wrestling just said, marvelous, is that the DVRs and the hype and all of the buzz that was created around my masterpiece, the final deletion, drew in viewers almost within that week, almost a million viewers. Which for the TNA...
It's huge.
Is enormous, is vast. And I have told them, I am your chance. I am the one. I am the savior. You need to give it to me. You need to make sure that I get the opportunity to wrestle for the title of the world. They know. And the people know as well. The broken bandwagon has grown. And they want to join my side in the Great War to take on all of the darkness, all of the traitorous Brother Neros. And that's more or less. Either you are with me or you are Brother Nero. The lines are very clear in this day and age.
Were you... worried at all, or I'm sure you weren't talking though, as you are, but you're not talking about the final deletion like you mentioned. It's not a physical thing, it's more of an intellectual property and taking over his whole career. But when Brother Nero walked to the top of climbed to the top of the tree and did the swanton off the tree onto the ladder, half on the ladder, I mean, that was completely insane. That could be one of the craziest things I've ever seen him do, and he's done a lot of crazy things over the years.
Yes, another example of being a spot monkey, as he does. You know, he goes up because he does these things. He wants to jump off any location he can in any venue just to try and get a cheap pop from these fans. That is what he is looking to do always. When me, I am actually a more well-rounded wrestler and performer. Well, actually, I'm smart. My broken brilliance comes into play. Him, on the other hand, he wants to jump out of trees like some honorable evolved gorilla. All these promotions, I wrap in all up in one. The Ring of Honor, the Evolve, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They have all these young men and women go out, and they do all these high spots. They do all these flips. They destroy their body night after night after night after night, and they think that's what wrestling fans want to see. And they have let this small portion of a very vocal, opinionated internet ants allow them to do that and let them be influential in their style of matches. But I look at you, I look in your eyes, and I look in your soul, and I read your thoughts once again. And I know, you know, that is not the way. The way is to go out. When we wrestle, we are performers, we are entertainers. And there's a way to put your brilliance on the grandest stage of them all without being one of these spud monkeys, without doing all this nonsense. You go out there and you entertain the people. And that is what my broken brilliance is going to bring back around. I am going to bring back wrestling to what it should be, something that is entertaining, something that is beyond what it has become, where everyone is focused on a four-star match or a five-star match. I have opened up a brand new universe in the world of professional wrestling, in this industry, and I call it the broken universe.
But this is, I mean, you're kind of being a little bit hypocritical there, because when you first started in the WWE, that's exactly what you did. I remember you doing twisting dives off the cages and all this sort of stuff. You did the same thing.
It was, and I regret it. I look back upon those days, and it was when I was such an ignorant, closed-minded. I just didn't have the access to my mind. I wish I knew better. I wish I could go back and change things, but I cannot. The fact is, now my eyes have been opened to a grander world, and it is amazing to see these things that I can do, the things I have unlocked in the potent parts of my brains that I now use. I know what must be done, not only to solve the wrestling industry, I believe I can solve the world. I might even can solve the universe when it's all said and done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's start with your universe, with the TNA universe. You have basically created, you just kind of touched on this, something we've never seen before in wrestling. And it was such a huge hit. It could actually, like, this match took place basically via the documentarian. It was basically a piece of film like you'd see in a movie. It was not a match that you would see in the middle of an arena with people around. Do you see the wrestling business going into this direction more often?
I am going to take my broken universe in that direction more, for sure. You cannot have every match, obviously, in that setting, in that circumstance. That is not wise. It is just time to change wrestling from, especially when I talk about the Impact Wrestling, the TNA universe. When I address it, it has to change. It has been stale. It has not had an identity. It has been directionless. But I have given it an identity. And this Dixie Carter, this John Gabarek, these people who are supposedly creative behind it, if they don't watch this step very wisely, I will delete their asses next. And considering I have been doing this for a quarter of a century, as you have been too, you have been around for a long, long time. It has went through my mind, I might actually buy the TNA. And then I would just head up TNA, and I would send it in a new direction and in a new light with my broken brilliance.
Well, if you can afford giraffes, I mean, those are expensive. So, what did Dixie say to you when she found out about these numbers? Because as we know, as unique as you may be, you drew the numbers. You're making the money. You drew money for the company, and that always gives you more carte blanche to do what you want. They must have been very excited with your work. Were they approving of it before it aired?
I think they were very unsure. Whenever my documentarian came out there and the final deletion occurred and happened, all of these events that happened over the course of that evening, when it went back to be put and the programming that came from that hellhole, the Impact Zone, when it was put on that programming to go to the television, the people that worked in TNA and executives hadn't seen anything until it was going to air on TV. They had no clue about what was being on.
That's a lot of trust for you guys to provide something entertaining.
And I'm sure people weren't sure of what the reaction was going to be, but since the beginning of this whole journey for me, since my incident, since the incident happened when my where brother Nero tried to end me, and since my condition occurred, I have had full confidence that I could make my broken brilliance shine. And now people slowly but surely are jumping on the broken bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure in the company as well. Let me ask you a question. This is something a lot of people didn't notice, but like I said, when the final deletion aired, I want to tell everyone listening, there was a huge buzz, not just in the wrestling world, but in the WWE locker room. And we were actually over in Japan, and everyone was watching it in the dressing room, and we were having viewing parties, because if you missed the first 5 minutes, you couldn't just sit in. So we would have to have a showing at 3 o'clock and 3:30 and 4 o'clock. One of the guys who was really analyzing it, one of the vaudevillains,
yes.
Gotch, pointed out at the very end, when you actually light the structure on fire and Jeff falls off, you got enveloped in a fireball too.
Yes.
A lot of people didn't notice that, right?
Yes.
That must have been quite dangerous.
Yes, I was engulfed in the flames. And for some reason, the seven deities blessed me. I almost feel like a Targaryen from the Game of Thrones. Because I was in the flame, I felt the heat, and I should have been burned. And when I looked in the mirror, I thought I was going to have the complete side of my body burned, but I was not. I was not scarred. I was not affected. I was gifted the defense from the seven deities on that occasion, because they knew my purpose in life and in space and time was large, and I could not suffer any kind of setback in that time.
So dangerous, though, man. Both you guys could have got seriously hurt on that.
It could have been, but there is danger in deleting someone. But it had to be done.
Well, I mean, this is so, like I said, after knowing you guys for so many years, it freaks me out in that way that you would want to do something like that to your brother and want to do something like that to Jeff. But like, it was a huge, huge hit. So
did you see when I forced him to jump that cycle with wheels from the genesis of our descent?
What did you do? I'm sorry. You jump.
Yes, I forced him to jump that cycle with wheels from the genesis of our descent.
Oh, the motorcycle. Okay.
Yes.
Because the last one that I saw was when you had everyone over to your movie theater, and they were chanting for you, and then you were mad because you didn't have green beans. You like green beans.
Oh, they are a delicacy. Oh, they're delightful.
So you got Jeff to jump his motorcycle?
The tantalizing.
Sorry. Okay.
No.
You can talk about green beans more if you like.
No, just green beans are tantalizing.
Okay. Is this something? Titillating as well.
Yes. I love them. I have a green bean garden that Senior Benjamin heads up.
You mentioned that. And you also have another servant that was bringing you your dinner who was not Mexican.
Yes. No. She wasn't. I just sometimes speak in Spanish.
Okay. I heard that. And in French, too?
Oh, French, yes.
You said we a few times. Yes. How many servants do you have?
I currently have seven.
Because, you know, before you were broken, Matt, you were a big money man. You were tweeting pictures of your bank account. You had lots of money. I mean, we know you're a very, very wealthy guy. But now we see your house, beautiful house, all these servants.
Gracias.
Giraffes in your yard. I mean, you're living the life of Riley. Seem like you've got it all. Making your own schedules. You're doing whatever you want to do. And yet you seem like a really troubled, angered person now, Matt.
Well, I am a lot less troubled and a lot less angered now that I have deleted Brother Nero.
That was your one mission in life, it seems. You can't let it go.
That was a big one. Yes, that was a vast accomplishment.
So now what do you want to do? Besides, you said you want to win the world championship in TNA.
Yes, the title of the world.
Sorry, the title of the world.
I must tell you, too, what you haven't seen. You are obviously 1 week behind, which is understandable.
I'm sorry, yes, I haven't.
You are a very busy individual. What happened was we started in Cameron, North Carolina, at the Hardy Estates, and I found my obsolete mule hanging around the point in geography that was the genesis of our descent. You see, the only reason I ever came back to the Impact Wrestling was to win the tag team titles with Brother Nero. He asked me to come back. He said, please, come back and work here with me, and we can win these, you know, these tag team titles one more time, and we can have a great run and still continue to show the world that we are one of the greatest tag teams in history. And I did that. And the date after I won them, in the following week, he went out to his motorcycle track and he got on his cycle with wheels and he tried to do some Evel Knievel-ish like jump and he broke his leg.
It badly broke his leg, right?
Yeah. How selfish can one man be? How egomaniacal can one man be? I mean, what kind of a self-serving jerk would do something like that? You know, we had just won these tag team titles and we were supposed to have the reign that really solidified us as the greatest of all time. And he's out acting like an enfeebled Knievel. He's out injuring himself, breaking legs and whatnot. So I go to the Hardy Estates. Vanguard One actually reported to me. Vanguard One spoke to me and told me, Master, Brother Nero is at the genesis of your descent. He was at that ramp.
This is where the accident happened.
Yes, where the accident happened. Okay. He was hanging around there. And then I appeared there and I told him I have deleted him. The confidence that he had to do jumps like that in the past, the fearless entity that was Brother Nero is no more. He's just a vessel of flesh. And I said, do it. I said, I want to see you try it. I want to see you fail again and again and again and again and again. Because for some reason, he didn't believe he had been deleted. And he got on that cycle with the wheels. And he thought he could jump. And he did. And as soon as he took off, he immediately crashed. He wiped out. Destructive. And I knew that traitorous Brother Nero, Dixie Carter, she'd already tried to put him in this Bound for Glory playoff match in this tournament when he was my intellectual property. Well, I killed two birds with one stone, as they say. Because not only did I show him he was not what he was once before by crashing this motorcycle, I also injured him so he was destroyed and demolished in his matchup. Because my obsolete mule doesn't do anything that I don't allow him to do. That is where the saga ended last week.
You're stripping him of his very essence.
Yeah, he has no essence. I have. That is what got deleted. When I delete someone, it is almost like a classic voodoo. I take what is inside of them and I pull it out. And now I have it. I own it. What is him? I'm trying to find a way to actually take it and be able to utilize it myself. That is one of the things I have my renowned scientist working upon.
A scientist on this is one of your seven servants?
No. He is merely a scientist, but he is the greatest scientist of all time.
I'm sure he is.
I have him working on a portal as well. He is the one who animated Vanguard One.
Okay, yeah, you need some.
Well, along with the seven deities, help me animate him to make him more than just an inanimate object.
Because we've never seen this. It was almost like R2-D2 in Star Wars. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. You pop up on the out of Vanguard One's back, yes, and give a message to Brother Nero during the final deletion. We've never seen that technology before.
Correct. I also have my renowned scientist working on a portal.
Portal to?
To whatever location I choose. I mean, right now, I am just so... I am so tired of having to get on these crafts with wings and fly through the air to go to different locations, like that hellhole, the impact zone, if we have to go there, whatever the venue may be. I have my renowned scientist currently working on a portal where I can get in the portal and then beam to wherever I need to go and just be there.
Kind of like the old Star Trek teleportation thing.
Very similar, except this one is real. Not fictional.
This one's real. Okay. Maybe you can make it into like an app on your phone or something like that. And would you, if you do invent the portal, is that something you would share with the world or would you save it for yourself?
I would save that for myself.
Okay.
Right now.
You don't want everybody to
know that there could be a market on that. I may be broken, but I will never be broke. That is why I have Brother Nero working as my absolute mule. Have you seen his exquisite entrance? Oh, you have to see.
You've taken that away from him. Now he doesn't do his Jeff Hardy.
Oh, no. He has one line that says, I am obsolete. And then my wife just yells obsolete the whole while. She gives him the walk of obsolescence every
like,
time he goes
like Game of Thrones, the walk of shame.
Very similar. Yeah.
You know, it's very similar. You're almost making him into your own personal reek.
He is in many ways.
Exactly that is what he is.
That is an excellent comparison. He is, yes. I have broken him. He is like a dog, except he's my mule.
He's your mule, right.
He's my obsolete mule.
Right.
My empty vessel of flesh, obsolete mule.
But Jeff's got a family. What about his wife and his daughters? I mean, what are they saying to you?
If they get on the broken bandwagon, I will spare them.
But I don't see them getting on them. His wife Beth is not going to get in the broken bandwagon. I'm surprised she hasn't come over with a frying pan and tried to hit you over the head with it.
I still give them a small percentage of his earnings. I take the majority of them, but I give them a small percentage. He has made a lot of money throughout his quarter of a century being a professional wrestler. They are okay. They know. They know he's a Brother Nero. They know he's done terrible, dreadful things to him in the past.
Hmm. The Brother Nero. You mentioned before, and you were playing it earlier. I'm actually looking at it right now, this beautiful violin. Yes. And where did you get this violin from?
Antonio Stradivari.
Now, you do realize that Stradivarius is very valuable, for one, and that Antonio Stradivari died in about the 1700s, I would believe.
Yes. Well, obviously, it wasn't my physical vessel that was best friends with him. It was back many, many years ago when my soul was in another vessel is when I knew the wonderful Stradivari, and that's when he gave me that violin, and I've kept it in certain locations. And even when this vessel perishes that I currently exist in, I will store it away somewhere, and then I will get it again in my next vessel. By the way, I meant to tell you, Mr. Irvine, I knew your great-great-great-great-grandfather around the turn of the 17th century, and he was an amazing man.
Oh, really? Oh.
We were dear friends.
No kidding. In Canada, or did he come down to North Carolina? Or?
Yes, it was in Canada.
Northern Canada?
Oh, no, I mean, I have lived all over the world in different times.
Hmm.
Theodore Irvine, he was a very, very sweet man.
What did he do? Do you recall?
He was a lumberjack.
Of course, a lumberjack. You know, it's funny because I've always had an affinity for trees. I really enjoy trees. I never knew that I had a lumberjack in the family.
Oh, yeah, delightful.
A delightful gentleman?
Oh, yes. I mean, the experience was delightful. He was just such a kind man. He had big hands, very hard hands, very calloused. He worked hard with his hands, but we were dear friends.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you were, because if you would have deleted him, I might not be here right now doing this chat with you.
Oh, I would never. We would spend many, many nights by the fireside.
Hmm. Just hanging out?
Oh, no. He was a big advocate of the deer. He would love to hunt and catch the deer or a bear or other different wild animals, and then we would cook them at fireside during the camp.
Well, the lives you have led, I mean, it almost seems like a vampiric existence. You know, you've been around for 300, 400 years.
What I have done, too, in the midst of my broken brilliance is I've realized humanity has gotten so soft throughout the years. All of this technology, these cell phones, these computers, the internet.
Vanguard, drones.
Yes, but he is a dear friend, and he is not just like a piece of machinery.
Oh, he has a soul.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a soul. He is animated. I've really went back to my primal instincts, and I have learned. You know, the seven deities, they have promised to refurbish this vessel that I'm in back to when I was a man of 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to heal up all the injuries I have occurred from all the years working at Mick Mahan Show or the Honorable Wrestling or the Impact Wrestling, wherever I have worked at. They are going to refurbish my body, but I am on a strict diet. I've taken a pledge to them to eat only the meats, the vegetables, and the fruits, and that is all I eat. They have done so many great things for me. They have also helped me. They deleted the demons I had of the normal man, and they have made me into an individual that is as perfect as any human could be, and then unlocked my mind and made me more.
Hmm. We were talking about TNA about how the final deletion did 1 million views, which, like I mentioned, it takes TNA almost back to the glory days of the ratings, where it was 1 million, 1.5 million at times. What does TNA need to do to continue this momentum that they have going on? I mean, obviously, making you the champion is probably what you're going to say, but besides that, as a company, as a whole,
they have to find some sort of identity. They have had an identity issue, I think, for a long, long time. Because now professional wrestling has been so engulfed underneath Mick Mahan's show. And Mick Mahan is just above and beyond everything else. And anything that seems so similar to Mick Mahan's show is going to end up coming off like a second-rate copy. And I think it's very important, very vital for Impact Wrestling to find their way, find their own identity. And my Broken Universe is something different that has never been seen anywhere else before. I can tell you this, my Broken Universe, Mr. Mick Mahan would be terrified of it. He would be afraid to let me go there. He wouldn't let me shoot the fireworks on his show, or he wouldn't let me burn up my Brother Nero. But it's time to go to a different place, a different time, and that is what Impact Wrestling must do to succeed. That is the only way TNA can truly grow, is to find its own identity.
Have you thought about, I mean, this character that we talked about has become so, so popular and such a big buzz. You could actually take this outside of the TNA world into TV or movies or anything like that. Have you thought about anything like that? Because people love this new incarnation of you.
I have a few people that have spoken to me about putting together, what do they call these mortal men call these one-time tryout TV shows, these...
Pilot.
Yes, these pilots is the terminology that the mortals call it.
Yeah.
A couple of people asked me about maybe doing that with the broken Matt Hardy, the being that I am currently. My dear friend Nick Searcy has friends who was an actor on Justified and whatnot, who he is a big fan of the Final Deletion and the things that we have currently doing. So I have spoken with these guys, and my documentarian is actually in Los Angeles as we speak right now, and he is helping Chef Rabbit Irvine work on a new show he is doing. He is also talking to some other people in the Hollywood about my broken brilliance.
I got a little heat with Robert Irvine because he's another famous Irvine. Can you maybe delete him?
Yes.
Maybe I can throw you a couple bucks.
One thing I do like about you, Mr. Jericho, is that you are not a Brother Nero. You stand alone. I know you have to deal with week in and week out many stupid idiots and all kinds of things. Like, I understand how you feel, and I understand how it's like to be on a pedestal like you, where you are greater than everyone else around you, and you have to deal with ants and toads and whatnot all the time. So you don't support the Brother Nero. You are a neutral, a very neutral soul, like Switzerland, which I can appreciate.
Or Canada's pretty neutral.
Yeah, as well, Canada.
But that's one thing I liked about you know, is weird. I keep saying weird. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you have to understand from an outside perspective, this very weird, unique incarnation of Matt Hardy, Broken Matt.
It's a lot of information to digest at one time.
It is, especially for a mere mortal like myself.
Yeah.
But you have done, whether you did it indirectly or not, you've reinvented yourself in this business. You keep mentioning you've been doing it for 25 years. To actually reinvent yourself is something that I'm great at, is believe it. I've been doing it for years. And you are actually, that's what I love about it, is you've completely changed everything about the Matt Hardy character, which was stale, just like the Chris Jericho character was stale 6 months ago. You were not smart enough, because this is not something you chose to do, but indirectly by embracing this character, you've become one of the hottest characters in the business once again.
Well, I appreciate your acknowledgement, and I still feel I would love to, when I get a chance, allow my soul to speak with your soul, because I think you have been around for a very long time. I would love to get to know your soul, because you are very wise beyond your vessel's years and your vessel's abilities.
Wow, okay.
Thank you for those compliments, and I find it very remarkable that you were able to pick up on all these details.
You mentioned earlier that you go to do shows outside of TNA, and everyone is coming to meet you and get pictures with you and all the different things. You seem like you have a real, would you say, the broken bandwagon army growing?
I almost refer to them as the broken bandwagon.
Broken bandwagon.
Yes.
You're seeing it growing on a daily basis everywhere you go?
Yes. I don't know if there are loyal soldiers in my Great War, because I said, like, the Great War is the oldest war known to man. The light versus the dark. And I am engaged, I am engulfed in the Great War. And the people who are truly on my side, I consider them part of my broken brethren. There are a lot of people that are trying to jump on the broken brotherhood. They come up to me and they ask for autographs, and they go, "It's over." Or they go, "Forever." Or whatever it may be. Or they look at me and they go, "Oh, Brother Matt, I knew you'd come." You know, everyone wants to say these catchphrases and whatnot, you know, but this isn't like something that I am looking to market. It is just my lifestyle. It is what I do. It is how I talk. It is how I speak. And as you can see in, you know, by the year 3000, everyone will be speaking as such.
Which is amazing to me. You know, since this is a podcast, which will live forever, somewhere down the line, you know, where are we? 996 years from now, whatever it may be. I'm not a mathematician. They're going to be saying
984 years.
Thank you. They're going to say Broken Matt was right. Broken Matt was right.
Yeah.
Or however, I can't do the accent.
Excellent.
An excellent attempt, maybe, right? Yeah. But I was going to say, too, just a few more questions. When you're looking at the Final Deletion, and this is something that John Cena pointed out, he goes, I don't know if you spent the money on this or whether the company entrusted you with it, but the shots that you did and the I don't know if you had a jib shot or they're all drones, but it was very, very quality done. Who paid for that Final Deletion piece of art?
The Final Deletion was actually something that was probably, I would say, co-funded. TNA Impact Wrestling sent out my documentary, Jeremy Borash. The shots that you saw that were the magical shots, he shot all of those. It was only a 3-man crew that covered it. That's how many other people he had documenting it. And it was done over the course of 14, 15 hours, maybe. And
that whole thing was done in 15 hours.
Yes.
Wow. Your whole plan unfolded.
Everything. Everything you see, yes.
Yeah.
Done in 14 to 15 hours. And the interesting part of it is that most of the stuff that was around that you saw that people would say like, oh, well, you know, they had to purchase this, purchase that, was just things that happened to exist already currently on the Hardy estate.
You already had a dilapidated boat on your estate.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, I didn't even know it was there. I mean, it may not have been there until the seven deities just blessed me with it.
But there was one thing that happened, a little bit of a swerve on you that the seven deities did not warn you about. And that's when Will-O-The-Wisp appeared out of the water.
I still do not understand where he acquired that magic. I do not understand where he acquired that magical ability. Because not only did he appear out of the water after I thought I had supposedly drowned him, whenever he came and the loyal, good man, Senor Benjamin, hit him with the taser, Will-O-The-Wisp was never in this fight. He was not supposed to be in the final deletion ever. You know, and when Senor Benjamin backed him off with his taser, as I went to find him and cover him and I thought I had to win, all of a sudden he had switched out his clothing and put it on the Senor Benjamin.
Right. Quickly, too. He never even knew it.
I was blown away.
Is it possible maybe Jeff has some magic? Maybe he has a few deities on his side? Sorry, Brother Nero.
I don't know. I am looking deeply into Brother Nero, and this is there's only one thing I think that can salvage him, is if I break him down enough that he admits that he was wrong and he's guilty in everything he's done throughout his entire life. But he's a very stubborn creature. It's going to be hard to get him to do that. But I promise you, over these next few weeks on the Impact Wrestling on the TNA, I am going to punish my absolute mule. Hmm. And if he doesn't go along with what I say and follow, no more Mr. Nice Guy, as they say.
Hmm.
If he doesn't do what I say, then I will continue to punish him and torment him until he is nothing, not an iota, until the physical vessel that was once Brother Nero doesn't even exist anymore.
Is this going to be just for Brother Nero or for all the Brother Neros in TNA? You want to do the same thing to everybody that opposes you?
It's starting with the mold, with Brother Nero, with the guy who actually set the mold.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, all of the Brother Neros will pay. I am on a mission. It is the Great War. It is never ending.
Last question. What do you see? What is your next 6 months of plans for Broken Matt in the TNA?
Broken Matt has two things right now. One thing that I will give you an exclusive here on your wonderful, beautiful talk show. I will give you an exclusive. I am going to make my obsolete mule win back those tag team titles that he lost on his own. I am going to send him out, and I am going to force him to fight every tag team and climb up the ladder from the very bottom and win back those tag team titles, and I am going to make 95% of the pit day. And while he is in the midst of doing that, I am going to focus on what I need to do to maybe try and be whole once again.
So you're becoming a wrestling promoter. You're going to take 95% of his money and make him do all the work.
5% is very generous. It's my intellectual property.
Okay. But he's going to be doing this by himself?
Of course.
So he's going to be in a handicap match?
Of course. He lost them by himself, didn't he? He's the one that broke his leg. It was his fault.
Okay.
I was there. I was there ready to fight by his side to the bitter end until we met our end of days. But he went off and he was jumping all these ramps and whatnot on that cycle with wheels, injuring himself. How reckless can you possibly be?
Okay, so you're going to put him through this gauntlet?
Yes.
That's one thing.
Until he wins this tag team titles back. And then on my end, I am going to focus on winning the title of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And see if that makes me feel somewhat whole again.
And when this happens, I think TNA is going to continue to grow. And I think that, you know, as we say in the wrestling business, you're going to turn into a big baby face. I think the Broken Matt character is going to be hugely popular.
These bandwagon members continue to grow. They continue to try and jump on. It is full. I do not look for them. I do not want them necessarily. I only care about a few people in my life. My wife, my son, Vanguard One, Senior Benjamin, and Skarsgård the Dilapidated Boat. I also have a scribe who translates all of my words, and he writes them. He is currently writing and forging the Modern Testament of the Broken Book.
Oh, okay. That's smart.
Yes.
Was he the fat guy in the movie theater?
Yes, he's a little overweight.
Okay. Oh, was the fat guy from the movie theater?
We're going to work on him, though. He is very good. He is very good at transcribing my words. And we're going to put everything together and collect all of these verses, all of these gospels, so that future generations will be able to bear witness to my book mm-hmm. brilliance.
All the way up into the year 3000. Yeah. Last question.
And then they'll all know.
The what now?
Then they'll all know.
The secrets.
In 3000, yeah.
In 3000. It's a long way to wait, but, you know, generations.
We will prepare posterity ahead of time.
But then our souls will still be there as well.
Some will. Not all souls live so long.
Okay. Just the smart ones or?
Great ones.
Okay. Last question before you leave. Can you pick up the Stradivaria and play one more song?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, if you haven't seen The Final Deletion, like I said, go check it out on YouTube now. Just search for The Final Deletion Director's Cut. It is an amazing, brilliant, wacky, cheesy, campy piece of work. You're going to want to check it out. You're going to want to see it. And you're going to want to see what Broken Matt is up to every week on Impact Wrestling. That's Thursdays at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Pop TV. Go find it on your cable system. Matt Hardy turning around TNA in a lot of ways with the most unique and original character that we've seen in years. And I got to tell you, if he keeps up this good work, as crazy as he may be, it wouldn't surprise me if he got a call from a certain boss of another wrestling company, my boss, to bring him into WWE, because he is an amazing character and it's working. It's working huge. And I'm telling you right now, you want to check out The Final Deletion. You want to check out TNA for Broken Matt Hardy. And I want to thank him, even though it was very creepy going to that undisclosed location with all the violin music and the Stradivaria. I mean, you know, come on, man. That guy died in the 1700s. It's very, very wacky stuff. But thanks to Matt for giving his first in-depth sit-down interview to talk as Jericho. And it'll be interesting to watch his universal domination unfold on future episodes of TNA Impact Wrestling every Thursday on Pop TV at 8 p.m. Eastern. All right, and talking about dates, how about March 15th, 2017? Mark those calendars because we're getting closer to the biggest podcast ever. Mick Foley joins Talk is Jericho, and that countdown is spiraling down. 223 days left and counting until the biggest podcast ever. Speaking of big podcasts, you got to check out the biggest hit, the newest hit on Podcast One via the Jericho Network, the debut podcast on the Jericho Network, which is a big, big hit. Over a quarter of a million downloads already. You got to check out Conan's podcast on the Jericho Network. It's called Keeping It 100. It's tearing up the iTunes charts. It's the latest blockbuster podcast hit at podcastone.com. If you haven't downloaded or subscribed it yet, what are you waiting for? Conan, Disco, Hoovy, all the guys, Kevin Gill, Sugar Shane Helms, they're all there just talking about whatever in their own special way. Very, very funny and a great way to kill an hour every week. You guys want you to go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button now for Keeping It 100. Do the same for Talk is Jericho if you haven't already. Leave us both 5-star ratings and reviews. I know you guys love podcasts, so now you get Talk is Jericho twice a week and joining us from the Jericho Network, Conan once as well. And one last thank you to all you guys for supporting the great Talk is Jericho sponsors, including ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Once again, type in that code Jericho. Get 20% off your order. Anything you purchase for a limited time, including the new collector's edition of The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, the documentary that's changing the way people look at yoga and the way they look at Jake the Snake. Number 6 best Netflix rated documentary of all time. Speaking of other great documentations, how about The Best in the World at What? I have no idea. My 3rd New York Times bestselling book that is available for free on audible.com. Just go to audible.com/Jericho and start your 30-day trial and get a free audiobook. You can choose whichever one you want, but The Best in the World might be a place to start. How about Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports? I mean, that's the Trinity, the Holy Trinity right there. Of course, True Car, the fastest and cheapest way to buy a brand new car. And the OG sponsor, Amazon, easiest way to support this show. Please Use my Amazon links anytime you do any online shopping. All my Amazon links are at podcastone.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, UK, Canada, A. Every time you use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to the show to help us cover production costs. Listen, you can buy anything you want on Amazon. If you buy something, take a picture of it, post it on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. I will retweet it and I'll follow you. I want to see what you guys are buying using these links. It's not going to cost you anything extra. No hidden fees or extra charges. You can even bookmark it. So you just click it and it's right there. Once again, podcastone.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit that Talk is Jericho button. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. We'll see you on Friday with a big yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.